Hi, this is Guy Smith, the pastor of One Life Church. I want to thank you for tuning in to this message. You know, all the messages that we create and really everything that we do at One Life Church is about fulfilling what we have as a biblical mission to make and guide fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. My prayer and our prayer as a church is that as you tune into this message, that you will be blessed and your faith will grow and that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and guide you towards a deeper faith and a greater mission for the cause of Christ. Enjoy.
Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for.
How often are we that man? How often, as we get into Thanksgiving week here, how often do we live these lives that are so filled and overwhelmed with small but yet huge blessings that we never quite see? Because we're always maybe thinking farther, thinking bigger, thinking more beautiful, comparing ourselves with those who have done better than we have. We get this kind of this little piece of comparison, this piece of depression that kind of comes into us where we think, what has God really blessed me with? And we do that and we miss what's really happening every day in our life. And we wake up in the morning and we do like this man did. We say, Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for. We sit around the room in a class or sit around the table at Thanksgiving and think, I can't really think of anything that I'm thankful for. So this is a cop-out friends and family answer or something like that. But really, when we get down to it, what does our life look like? What does your life look like? What are the blessings that you have in your life that you have just kind of accept and enjoy but don't take time to say, wow, there are so many people in the world that don't have this. Or so many people in my community that don't have this. We are such a blessed people. Physically, materially, right? Like we got stuff, right? And you may have great health, and you may have youth, and you may have family, and you can move, and you can walk, and you have a healthy heart, and you wake up in the morning, and you're not wondering, okay, I got two outfits, which one am I gonna wear today? Or we wake up in the morning and we want to wash those two outfits. We have to walk a half a mile to go wash them in the creek or in a pond. Or we wake up and you don't wake up in the morning and think, man, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to feed my kids today? Where am I going to get eggs and milk today? We so often, be it a lie from Satan or be it just some kind of deceit or be it our own discontentment, right? We're so often, we miss the things that truly are blessings from God. How often are we this man? We go through our day and our week and our month and our year, and we miss it because we have maybe higher expectations for what God should be blessing us with. So we get to the end of our day and the end of our week and the end of our month, and we still, even amidst all of these amazing things that we have that so many others don't, we still just say, you know what? Lord, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for. Show me what I have. So we call up a friend when we're feeling bad, and these are the kind of things that they walk you through. Like if you would call me up if you're struggling with this at some point this year or this week, you say, what do I have to be thankful for? I don't have this. This isn't working out. My life isn't where I thought it would be at this stage. And I would probably start by walking you through some of these things. Well, you can move, you can see, you have food, you have health, you have running water, you have clothes, you have an automobile. You got all these incredible things that are blessings from God that you really did not do that much to earn, right? It's a gift from God. I mean, we can work hard with skills God gave us to get more. But on the ground, basic things, blessings from God. So this Thanksgiving, I want to ask you a question, and we'll take this from this position of material and then this position of physical health, my breath, my life, my job, my skills, and then move this a little farther into some of the things that we've been singing about today and the things that Abby shared, giving thanks to him for the bigger things that really matter, the bigger and better and the eternal things and the gifts that we have through the cross of Christ as Christians. The hope that we have of heaven and the hope that we have only because Jesus was willing to take our sins to the cross. So what are you thankful for, truly, truly thankful for this year? Because the New Testament is just filled with thankfulness. And much of that thankfulness is pointed towards the things that God has given us. Because we know that we didn't earn it. We know we didn't. We know that it is a gift, and we know that he didn't have to give it to us. But what are you thankful for today? But here's my question, my main question for you today for you to consider. When I first heard this question, this question actually had a pastor friend. Actually, the pastor that married Kinsley and I stopped by my office this week, and he stopped in just kind of randomly. He was in town, so he stopped in to see if I could hang out for a little bit. And he shared this question for me that he's been kind of ruminating over in preparation for Thanksgiving this year. And the question really. It really kind of gets at you, right? It kind of makes you really consider your life, especially after watching a video like that and wondering, am I that guy? Am I that guy? And the question is this. What if the only things that you have tomorrow are the things that you're thankful for today? What if the only things that remain in your life tomorrow are the things that you are thankful for today? What would your tomorrow look like? What would be missing that once you get there, your wish was still there? What would you then work hard to fill and find and get back to? What if the only things that we have tomorrow are the things that we're truly thankful for today, the blessings that God has given us. If you got your Bibles with you, I want to start in the book of Philippians. If you'll turn over there, and I know that this is a common thing for all of us. I know that as we live our lives, as we go about our day, I know that it's so easy to kind of get in the zone and get in this rut. And I do this all the time. Like, it's like, come on, where's the joy? Where's the happiness? Where's the, oh my goodness, God is blessing me with such an amazing life that I don't deserve. Where is that? So, I mean, I'll be fully honest. Like I've been this guy. I've been this guy. Maybe you've been this guy. Maybe you are currently in a place where you feel like this guy because you feel like even though you've got all these amazing things happening, because the world is piling on you, the busyness or the ugliness or whatever it is that's happening in your life, you forget about and you're blinded to the good things in life. I've been that guy, right? You wake up in the morning and you're like, another day. But there's no excitement for life. There's no excitement for the blessings God has given you. There's no like, wow, look, I get to eat today. I get to work today. I get to hang out with my kids and my spouse today. I get to live a life today. What a blessing to be alive today. We miss it because we get so caught up in these other things and we forget the amazing things that God has given us already. So I I mentioned Philippians. Now, the book of Philippians is kind of a letter. It's a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church in Philippi. And he actually wrote this letter from prison, but it's kind of the joy epistle, a letter by Paul. It's kind of the joy book of the New Testament. So if you read through the book of Philippians, you'll learn about imitating Christ and becoming joyful, and imitating Christ and becoming content, and really learning about walking through your life and doing the things that God calls us to. And you kind of come out of that with this desire for worship, even though we so often we forget and we miss what we're really saved from and saved to, right? So here's kind of the piece of just a quick highlight. Here's what's happening in Philippians as Paul kind of brings things around. I mentioned he's writing this letter from prison. So at the beginning of this letter, Paul reflects on his imprisonment. He reflects on life sitting in jail and realizing that I'm in prison, and that means that because I'm in prison for being a preacher of the gospel, that means progress for the gospel. So he's sitting in prison and he's thinking, wow, how amazing is it that I get to go to jail for the gospel? It's not, woe is me. He's like, oh, sweet, some more bread and water. This is great, right? God's going to sustain me physically for another day, right? And so he talks about in the book of Philippians that to live is Christ, but it's okay if I die because that's going to be gain. And I'm going to give God thanks for that. I'm going to give God thanks. I'm going to give him praise in life and in the face of death, because that is the win, right? That is what we're living for. We live to share the good news of Christ. We live to win others and praise God. But the ultimate win, the ultimate praise is I have stepped over into eternity and I get to worship my Savior forever. The hope of heaven, that if we don't die before Jesus comes back and tears the sky open and blows the trumpet and takes us all home, then we're going to heaven right now and we get to praise him. And we can be thankful for that, right? And we can be blessed and praise God for that. Paul knows that, and Paul explains that and walks through that in the book of Philippians. So if you have some joy in your life, you can base that on saying, wow, I have hope of heaven. And if I'm living, I'm going to serve Christ. But if I die, sweet deal for me. I got the gain. I got the win. I get to go to heaven. So he explains all of this, and then he walks us through this encouragement to live our lives worthy of the gospel, this encouragement to live in unity, this encouragement to live like a light in the world. And he talks about his kind of apprentice Timothy, Pastor Timothy, that the books 1 and 2 Timothy were written to. He kind of outlines Timothy as this example of a service-centered life. And he does all of this where he comes at these opponents of the gospel to say, okay, let's do this right. Let's do what God's calling us to do. And he kind of works through all of this in the reality of how hard his life is, but knowing that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how hard my life is. God is still sustaining me and God is still blessing me. And I can still look back that as long as I have breath in my lungs, I've got one thing to thank God for. Paul was a master of giving thanks to God when he had everything and so much more in excess, and he's chilling out in Lydia's mansion, or if he's laying in prison and he's got nothing, not a cent to his name, and he's just hoping that they throw him some bread and water. He knows how to be content, and he knows how to look up and say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, because I know by the world standards what I have is not much. But I don't live for the world standards. I live to serve my Savior. So from that perspective of prison, Paul calls us to rejoice, to live this life of praise, to live this life of giving thanks to God for the things that he has blessed us with. So I want you to think about that perspective and then take that idea of Paul and just kind of turn it over and kind of shine the magnifying glass back at your own life, right? Like, okay, so Paul did this, and we have this thing, right, where it's like, well, he's a Bible character, you know? Like, well, like the Holy Spirit was moving a lot more back then. So clearly he had
you know, God, like Jesus probably like walked into that cell every couple days and said, you're going to make it, right? Like, you know, if that happened, then I would certainly be on fire and content and praising God all the time, right? We have this tendency of where like we raise the bar, like the Bible characters are way up here. But the truth is that while he was specifically called and very much filled and very much gifted and very much had God working in his life and was able to do miraculous things through the power of the Holy Spirit, but this is the same Holy Spirit that you as a Christian have living in you, the same powerful Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living in Paul, is living in us. And from prison, he is able to say, I am going to rejoice no matter what. And he's actually able to encourage Christians that have, at the moment, better lives than he has. While he sits in prison, they're out working a job, driving their cars to the city to have a better job. They're sitting around having steak and just enjoying life, right? And come together and break bread. Like, they're doing all these wonderful things. Now, mind you, lots of persecution going on back then. I don't want to ignore that. But the truth is, they weren't sitting in prison, those he's sending this letter to, right? From the bottom. Rock bottom, right? From the rock bottom, he is able to send a letter to encourage these people. And through time, encourage us as people doing much better than those that originally received this letter to be joyful, be thankful, be content. You are blessed. But not in a, like, I wish I was you kind of way, but like a, you're doing better than me. Boy, you are blessed, man. Check out, look what's happening here. But no, he's not like, oh, I'm laying in prison. This is so rough. You're so lucky. God is blessing you. No, it's not like that, right? It's like, I am also blessed, and I'm cool with this prison thing because it advances the gospel. I'm cool with this prison thing because if I die, sweet deal for me. I don't want to die because I think God's got more work for me to do, right? But when I do, I'm cool with it, right? No big deal. What am I living for, right? So he shares all this. So turn that magnifying glass around and kind of aim it at yourself and think about, okay, what do I have to be thankful for? Well, I could tell you, so if you're walking with Christ, so let's take this away from the practical everyday stuff where I can move, I get water, I get eggs, I have a healthy heart, all those things important, be thankful for those, right? Like in the movie. But take it bigger than that and take it to spiritual side. Who are you today as a follower of Christ? What does your life look like today that it didn't look like before you surrendered your life to Christ? Where were you? What path were you on? What kind of battles did you have inside of you? What kind of evil and hate did you have in your life? What kind of sins were you struggling with? What kind of path were you on that was potentially leading towards ruin? The wages of sin are death, and when sin grows up, it becomes fully grown. It leads to death, right? So the Bible is very serious about sin, right? So sin grows up and becomes death. We go to hell. People go to hell to pay for their sins. So we're in this place. So until you give your life to Christ, you're on this path that ends with eternity in hell. So perspective, right? Perspective, if you have given your life to Christ, who took your sins to the cross and conquered hell and death and set you free, what an amazing thing to be thankful for this year. Isn't that incredible? That you are walking with the Savior of the world
And you know that to live is Christ. So you get to live this hope-filled, joy-filled, peace-filled, amazingly blessed life that even if you have nothing, lose everything like Job, and you're just laying in the dirt all covered in sores with not a penny to your name, and the only friends that are there are the ones who are judging you and tearing you apart and think it's all your fault, you can say, I still have Jesus, so I am blessed beyond compare. And I will stay strong and stay steady no matter what happens. So here's what Paul says after he kind of outlines that. So think about that from your life. Here's what Philippians 4:4-9 says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. That's a song, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You guys aren't going to come in on that with me? Never mind. Next verse says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Translation, if you are anxious about anything, through prayer and supplication, be thankful. Let God know, share the truth with him. And what will happen is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. He will be with you. So we're called in our life to live this constant theme of rejoicing and praising and giving thanks and blessing his name and serving with gladness and singing praise, and that we're supposed to not focus on the things that are causing anxiety, not focus on the depression, not focus on the struggle, but to focus on what is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent. So that when we practice these things, and Paul is actually saying this in the letter, he's saying, hey, listen, you need to mimic me. You know, we want to be Christ-like, but listen, just look at my life, right? Like, start with my life if you need to and say, mimic me. And I'm telling you, if you live the way that I'm living with the kind of contentment and thankfulness that I have, even while I'm sitting in this prison cell, then I am telling you that the God of peace will be with you. He will be with you. He will be with you. So that whenever you struggle, whenever you have this anxiety, whenever you have this fear and this doubt, and this, where is God at in this picture? Say, speak truth to me. Share some truth with me. Tell me some truth. Share some Bible. Share some of God's word. And help me to focus on the things of God. Because we have this tendency in us to focus on the hurt or focus on the pain or focus on the negative. But to focus instead on the things of God, and the result will be peace with God and guarded hearts and minds. We are to be, as followers of Christ, we should be some of the most thankful people on the planet, because we have hope that the rest of the world doesn't have. Because the opposite of knowing, like, could you imagine driving to work every day and looking at the world and your life and thinking, what do I have? Where are my blessings? I got nothing. Come on. What's the deal here? What's the point? Why do I even get in my car and drive to work every day? What's the point of life? But as a Christian, we can say, wow, I have purpose. I have mission. I'm doing this for a reason. God's got a cause for me. To share his love and to be his light, to worship him and love others and win others. Are you giving thanks today? I want to show you a video that I kind of see as kind of the antidote to the first video that we saw. You maybe have seen this. It's actually it's by a church down in Charlotte. is actually going viral as we speak. So I hope you enjoy. This is their Thanksgiving and Christmas video. And then I'm going to come back up and I want to give you a closing psalm and encouragement. And then the worship team is going to lead us out. So enjoy this happy, thankful video.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Christine, you're here too. I love you.
I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works. It's coming. It goes on and off, whatever we want. We've got clean water.
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh. I bet I know what this does.
Rain down the glorious water.
Ah, shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys? Food.
I love food. What? A baseball? Do you not have work? This is awesome. Look, listen here.
Dee, the what?
Josh, be careful.
Ooh. I have a car. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car.
A car!
And don't forget your coffee.
You're the best.
I fully expect all of you to wake up like that tomorrow, right? Like, life is good. Look at all these incredible blessings that I have. On the back of your bulletin, there's a scripture that I want you to take with you, and I want you to remember and study and meditate on and pray over. And this is what they call Old 100. This is Psalm 100. It says, this is a psalm for giving thanks. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Take that with you. Pray over that. Consider that. Live a life of thankfulness this week, because remember, what if the only things that you have tomorrow are the things that you're thankful for today? Let's be a people who see the blessing and give thanks to the Father for all that he has given us. And if you're a Christian this morning, he has given you the world. And he's given you eternity. So won't you pray with me? The worship team's going to come and lead us out. Father God, thank you so much for so many blessings in this life. Thank you so much for sending Jesus and choosing to send Jesus even though you didn't have to. What an incredible, generous blessing. Thank you so much, God, that Jesus chose to go to the cross when he didn't have to and he could have just gone home. But instead, he said, I'm going to take the sins of these people to the cross so that I can set them free and I can save them and give them a relationship with me so that they can know the Father. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit for sending incredible gifts so that we can advance the gospel and we can live lives of peace and purpose. We love you, Jesus. We praise you in your holy name. Amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving, guys.